Justin, I'm going to go ahead and just bring us right in, brother, because you know today's a little bit of a crunch day. We got a GRN meeting later today.
We had all kinds of technology problems. Held us up.
Technology problems. We got a little sighted in the regular episode. I just want to continue my thought that I was having. I had to close it down, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately. So I'm just going to dive head first in. You know, hope there's the pool is not shallow, and I don't scrape my nose, but. The point I was trying to make, and this is really a shift in my own heart over for a while now, is that like if the point of the Christian life, Justin, is just kind of like to help people become better, I'm at a point where I'm like, that's impossible. If that's like, is that my job as a pastor, is like fix your marriage, help you stop looking at porn, help your right. anger issue, help your addiction to spending money. You know, it's like, why are we doing that? Because that can't be the aim of the Christian life, is just to not sin, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get to a point where I'm like, well, then I'm going to go try and do that on my own. I'm not going to try and help you do that, because I've tried to help people stop sinning and they just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not giving up. But the point of it is like we're so nearsighted. And because of revivalism and pietism, we get so nearsighted that we actually forget why we don't want to sin. Right.
Yeah.
It's obviously because it hurts our God and it's an offense against him. And he's told us not to, but he's told us not to with a purpose and a meaning behind it, in that our sin affects the body, but it also affects the mission of what we are doing, which is taking the light of Christ into a kingdom of darkness. And so there's a bigger ramification than our disappointment before the Lord. There's a ramification that we're also holding back the advancement of what he has left us here for which
sure.
is a lot of what I want to be talking about in the coming weeks. And there's so much to be said, but I'll let you jump in here.
There's a number of ways I could go with it. I think that, even within the church, it's very plain. We see this as pastors. We have a front row seat to it. When we, as members of a local church, are mired in sin, when we are dug in a sinful posture, when we are stubborn and hard-hearted about these things, it does all kinds of damage. And a lot of people are affected and hurt. And I think that's self-evident. I think we understand these matters, but we would do ourselves a service if we thought about our sanctification more in these terms. We're so self-focused and self-absorbed naturally. And I think even when it comes to the way we think about the Christian life, we can be the same way. Hmm. Whether that's our personal disciplines, our personal growth and transformation, how assured we feel, how whatever good we feel about X, Y, or Z in the church or in our participation in it and all of the rest. We're so concerned about us, when in reality, we should be concerned about our brothers and sisters. And our brothers and sisters in turn should be concerned about us, right? I mean, so this is how the Lord has designed this thing and set it up to work. And when we're in sin, we hurt people. Mm-hmm. And the more we are sanctified, the more equipped we are to bear with others, to be patient, to be humble, to be kind, to be wise. All of that, we're of greater help to other people. We're of greater service to the church. And everybody benefits.
Yeah.
From sanctified people, from mature people. And so if you're not motivated to pursue godliness for yourself, pursue godliness for your brothers and sisters, for your spouse, for your children, for your friends, for your pastors, for whoever. I mean, it really does build up the body of Christ when we all are seeking to live together in harmony and unity and love and peace in accord with the word of God. Mm. It's self-authenticatingly good. And God's honored, right? Like that's how this works.
Right.
I mean, we're blessed and God's honored.
Yeah. I mean, when you step back and you think about things that like Peter has said, like consider the patience of the Lord as salvation. Like as God does not bring his wrath and judgment right now, because he will, he's described as the divine warrior, because he will, he's going to bring judgment, but he's withholding it. And we who see the grace of God and love it, we can look around and go, there are so many who don't. And God's withholding that. And we're going to endure cancer and we're going to endure suffering and persecution because God was patient with us and now we are saved. And so we're left behind to proclaim the patience and the grace of God towards sinners. And because sometimes, man, Justin, I'll be frank with you, brother, you know, you and I sit down and we help people through some really dark stuff.
Sure.
And there are people who just get to a moment where they just can't see the future of life as having any value because of the amount of suffering that they're enduring. And it's our responsibility and obligation as believers is to help someone kind of regain their footing and saying, listen, this life is not the new heavens and the new earth. God right. did not intend you to live here in peace and harmony with right. the world, with each other for sure. But no, we can't live with peace and harmony with the world because the world is trying to kill us, and it will. Our bodies will die. The world's trying to get us to love something other than God. Right. And so we have to continue to find the purpose of our life in that God has left us here to be a reflection to each other and to the world of something that is far greater than the lie that Satan has in front of us. Right.
Right.
And once we, I think, embrace that, right theology becomes paramount because that's the stability of the ground that we're standing on sure. as we're advancing, right? Where we're assuring our foot up on Christ. And you're going to get to a point where some of the things that you're arguing about, you're like, I need to know about Jesus and yeah. how he is the perfecter and founder of my faith, right. not about some dumb aspect over here. And I say dumb, but this aspect of theology that's not really helping the advancement right. of the kingdom.
Right. Well, I have two thoughts here. Given everything that you said about the reality of suffering and difficulty and the fact that we're all perishing, that should make it really plain why sound doctrine matters on the one hand, because mm-hmm. why do we show up on Sunday? We okay. show up on Sunday to hear the only news that could ever be good for my soul, and that's that Jesus has saved a people and that we're going to be resurrected bodily unto eternal blessedness, and we're going to be liberated from. We have been and will be, right? I think both are true. Liberated from bondage to death and sin and the evil one and hell. And that's the only hope we have. And so that's ultimately why we come.
That's right.
That's key because we're not going to be able to fix everything this side of the resurrection. And so ultimately our hope has to be found beyond this life. And Christ is it. He is our hope. He is our eternal life, right? So that's one thought. And then when it comes to sanctification, I mentioned some things in the regular show I'm not going to repeat. I could say things at more length, but I'm not going to do that. I'll talk more personally for me. In recent weeks, maybe recent months, I'm thankful. I feel like the Lord in a lot of moments has brought me maybe to a fresh understanding and appreciation of the fact that Jesus really does love me. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds insane and like reductionistic and absurd to say, but I think you know what I mean. Because I'm aware of my struggles and my frailties, and I get frustrated with myself. I get discouraged in the fight against my own corruption and the difficulties that I encounter in living life in a fallen world. And given that, and I'm prone to trying to do penance somehow when I sin, whether that's before God or often just to appease my own conscience. You know, yep. there's things you feel like you need to work yourself up to something so that you can then kind of check that box. You've sort of atoned for that even in your own conscience and you can move forward. Given that this is a thing for me, I've been comforted to think more on the fact that Jesus knew me and knows me. He knew my sin to the extent that he took it on himself. Made satisfaction for it. He kept the law for me, and he's given me his righteousness, and I'm united to him, and he's not ashamed of me. He's not going to grow tired of me. He's not going to grow angry with me. He's not going to cast me out. But it's like, nah, he advocates for me when I sin. And
that's right.
That reality of, no, Jesus wants my sanctification. Even that thought, like he wants my sanctification. He's for me in my sanctification. He's not just waiting to drop the hammer. He's working, you know, by his Spirit in and through. And yeah, there's discipline from the Father. There's all these things. But I'm comforted to think on this matter and to think that Jesus loves me through the up and the down and the good and the bad. And it gives me more, I don't know, it puts wind in my sails. It encourages me to get up today, tomorrow, and continue to fight. And so that's another way that sound doctrine matters for transformation of life, because if all you're getting is fear and dread and you're bludgeoned with the law and you got to prove yourself legitimate all the time, I'm just not convinced that that ends well, man. And I don't think it's effective. So,
well, and I love everything that you're saying, Justin, because when you are convinced by the love of God for you and his, not only his love that's declared, but by promises that will be kept, right? Mm-hmm. Your death to life, your sanctification and glorification. In other words, death is but a transition to life. Sure. That's all it is here. Like we're waiting to die so we can live.
Sure.
And when you embrace that side of right doctrine, the conclusion should be, not only does he love me, he has a significant purpose for my life. And it's not radical. You know, it's right. not like there's this, we need to go pursue, like God's requiring. Now, I think it is radical because you're going to live so different from the world. Like what the world loves, you don't love.
Sure.
And what the world finds as affirmation, you don't well, find that as affirmation.
And how we order our lives. I mean, there's right. so many things.
That part of it is radical.
Sure.
But like, it's not radical in the way in which sometimes it's like, if you're not doing X, Y, and Z, then, you know, what are you doing with your life? That we can get distracted in that way. I mean, mm-hmm. the ordinary means of grace are called ordinary for a reason, because we ordinary people need it.
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, if you're a person that's like, you know, I'm going to trust Christ, I'm going to show up to church, I'm going to love my family, I'm going to be upright in my job, I'm going to seek to orient my life in these ordinary rhythms and patterns where I'm going to try to do good to the people that are around me. And I'm going to try to be used of God for their benefit. And that's really what my life's going to be about.
Yeah. And well, like there
that,
is
that
meaning.
Sounds wild.
Yeah.
To the
but world. I think that there is absolute meaning and joy in a life like that.
No, I do too. But because, that sounds insane
right.
to the world. Right.
It does. It does sound insane. It sounds insane to the world because it's like, how are you not finding meaning in your weight and in your money and in your sexuality right. and in your politics?
And in your travel, in your experiences, in your exactly. career ascension. I mean, like fill in the gap, right? Fill in the
how
gap.
Is it you're finding meaning in caring for someone who's struggling? And how is right. it you're finding meaning in proclaiming the gospel on a Sunday? And how is it you're like, finding meaning by praying with your brothers and sisters on a Wednesday? Like, how is that meaningful? To
right.
life.
And the only way it is if you think that there's life beyond this one.
That's right. And that everyone is living in darkness and everyone's living in a lie except for you. And you embrace the crazy. Right. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He has to say that because to embrace it is crazy. Sure. It is absolute crazy.
It's a stumbling block and it's foolishness.
Yeah. That's right. So I want to encourage all the SR listeners as we kind of bring this to a close is that we're going to turn the volume up on the crazy. Like, be crazy and it's okay. Let the world look at you and say, you're crazy because what do you mean money doesn't intrigue you? What do you mean sex doesn't intrigue you? What do you mean you don't need this stuff over here? It's like, no, because that distracts me from Christ and it distracts me from my purpose of what God's called me to do. I don't need to go live a radical life over there because you think I need to. I'm going to do the very thing that God calls me to. And this ordinary life will cause extraordinary work around the world because it's done by the Spirit and it's not done by me.
Yeah. And that last comment, and I know you agree, and we'll happily acknowledge that my flesh, just like yours, like if talking to a person of the world, my flesh, just like yours, does find money and sex and power and pleasure and all
very
these kinds
enticing.
Of things. Very enticing and attractive. I'm not different than you.
Yeah.
The only difference is I'm convinced that this other thing is greater and it's better. And Christ is it. And there is life beyond this one. And this is worth it.
Amen.
I mean, that's
Amen.
Effectively it.
Yeah. Amen. Well, stay tuned. We've got some more stuff we're working on. Obviously, Justin and I are really trying to dive into this, clarifying the gospel and reclaiming the purpose of the kingdom. It's something we're kind of slow dripping in so that people can start grabbing onto it. But finding rest in Christ is step one. Finding the sufficiency of Christ is step two, and then finding the meaning for your life in Christ is step three, and that's kind of what we're trying to help you develop and realizing that all of this happens within a local church, within the global kingdom. So I'm excited about it. I know Justin is. It's what really helps me get up in the morning is to realize that my life is more significant than my struggle with sin, and my life is more significant than my current 5 feet around me. You know, it's far more global, and I'm going to trust God with that, that what I feel like is mundane today is for his glory and for the advancement of the kingdom. I'm going to trust that.
And if I can simply put it this way, The way I would understand some of this is that people who are truly at rest and people who know they have peace with God through their Lord Jesus Christ are then much more filled up and prepared to then go and love.
And be effective.
Right. That's really it. So this isn't a bait and switch. Nope. This is a situation where you know rest, you know peace, and then because the Lord is good, you're going to be helpful to many. And that's right. Yeah, that's it.
Amen. Amen.
Holler.
All right, guys, thank you so much. The app is growing. I mean, it's good night. There's more and more people going in there and asking great conversations and great dialogues. It's a safe place to go. It's very different from social media. You don't have advertisements. You don't have people bothering you with shenanigans. It's a very protective place. We don't really allow any kind of stupid argumentations to come in there. We want to keep it beneficial. And so if that's something that's intriguing you, I know there's a lot of people who hate social media. Well, you're already in here. Good night. If you're not in the app, though, come check us out on the app. It's like I'm talking to the rest of the podcast. All right. We love you guys. Stay tuned. We got some fun stuff coming your way, and we'll talk to you soon.